Welcome to Best True Crime Podcast, a division of Best True Crime Books, Games, and Video, LLC. I'm your lead investigator on this case, Judith A. Yates, award-winning true crime author, a criminologist, and a paranormal explorer. Every episode is an investigation where you and I explore true crime, forensics, historic cases, dark history, and criminal theory. We discuss the cases, share information, no chatter, no commercials, no off-topic. Now, grab your crime scene kit, a notebook, and your favorite hat. This is Best True Crime Podcast. Hey, everyone. Welcome back to Best True Crime. I am your host, owner, bottle washer, chief, Judith A. Yates. And here's what we're talking about tonight. Texas seems to be turning on transgender people with a new Odessa ordinance that fines trans people for, quote, wrong bathroom usage. Is this price for elimination an effort to eliminate this population? Let's discuss. With political tension making most of us in the United States on overdrive, one group has been singled out with not just a bathroom ordinance, but one that comes with financial penalties. Texas seems to be turning on transgender people with a new Odessa ordinance that fines transgender people for bathroom usage. They are saying that it might be adopted across the state. And in this episode, we are asking, is this fine for elimination, just an effort to eliminate this population? In a 5-2 vote, members of the Odessa, Texas City Council banned transgender people from using restrooms that don't match their birth sex. This is nothing new in this country, except per the Odessa ordinance, the fine to the offender can be up to $500 with trespassing charges if a transgender person uses a restroom that matches the gender they identify as. And individuals can press charges on the offender and seek over $10,000 in damages, plus the cost of the offender's lawsuit and attorney fees. Now, what does this mean? This means that you can go into a restroom, and if you see a individual using that restroom that you don't believe matches the gender of the little icon on the door, you can press charges on them and you can ask for over $10,000. Now, cops are called, offender's written a ticket, and that's at least $500 with trespassing charges. How is this going to be played out? How is this going to go into effect? Can officers do a search of that individual? Who do you call? Where do you take it? It's basically just a cluster at this point. The overall reasons given by members is to protect Odessians and their own families. Example, Council Member Chris Haney introduced the ordinance. In the Texas Tribune, October 23, 2024 issue, Haney is quoted as saying, "There's never been fear. I don't care who you are, and what you do in the privacy of your home is your business, but I don't need to see it in public." Okay, and former Mayor Javier Hoven has been called a conservative and far right, and he claims he is bipartisan. Mayor Hoven told the Texas Tribune in a September article this year that he is worried about the safety of his four granddaughters. He said, "I'm concerned about any male being in any restroom, anywhere. I feel like we needed to publicly repent." He called Odessa culture as toxic and fractured. Now, I should note, just because he lost the election yesterday, doesn't mean his words haven't hurt people, and we'll go into that a little later. Today, I am talking to Maggie. That is not her real name. She wanted to change her name for safety reasons. Maggie currently lives in my home state of Texas, and we're talking about this new ordinance and what exactly is happening in Texas. Hello, ma'am. How are you?
Having a little bit of a rough day, given that the election was last night and the results are going to be challenging at best for people like me, and not just people like me, but the trans people were really the relentless focus of the tail end of the campaign. And it's very disconcerting to be thoroughly demonized by, such a powerful group.
And how do you identify yourself?
I am a transgender woman, which is to say that I have a Y chromosome. And when I came out, the doctor said it's a boy. And it took me a long time to realize that I really had more of a girl brain than a boy brain. I mean, the evidence was there the whole time, but it took me until I was 52 to recognize it. And that's a whole story.
Maggie, let's discuss the basics first so people can get a true understanding of folks here. What exactly is gender reassignment, and it is also called sexual reassignment?
Well, I would use the word transitioning. Sexual reassignment often refers very specifically to surgical procedures. So, as with all aspects of being trans, there's a range of opinions. You will get different answers from different trans people. I'm answering as myself, a person who is 4 years into their own transition. So, being trans is a mismatch between your internal sense of self and how you are embodied and seen in the world. For example, everyone, thought I was a boy. I thought I was a boy because of the parts I had and what have you. But I exhibited an awful lot of behaviors that were not consistent with traditional masculine traits. Some of them were just little silly things, like I would never wear towels in the locker room around my waist. I would always wear them under my armpits to cover up my chest, even though I didn't have breasts until recently. And I always hated masculine formal wear. Like I would wear, a button down or whatever, but I hated suits and ties. They felt like straitjackets. I mean, to this day, I can't tie a tie. I just willfully refused. So that's an inkling of what being trans is like. It's that mismatch between what your brain says you are and how you behave versus how everybody else sees you. Now, transitioning is taking steps to correct that discrepancy. And this can be any combination of changing your name, picking a different pronoun or pronouns plural, clothing, obviously, makeup. I don't really wear much trans makeup. I went to a university where the women didn't wear much makeup, and so I don't wear much makeup. A lot of trans people will use hormones to change up how their bodies shape is and how their emotions function, how their brain functions. Trans men often really like having, big muscles and facial hair. Trans women often want to have softer features and curves and breasts. And finally, of course, which gets a lot of sort of sensationalism, is the surgeries. And I've only had one surgery, and that is to remove the source of the testosterone that didn't work for me, but not the dramatic downstairs rebuild. So.
So let's talk about the difference to, again, just to clarify things for folks, between these transgenderism, drag, and cross-dressing. There for a while, drag was the big argument in Tennessee, which is near us, and all these laws and rules started in on the drag community. So let's talk about the difference there.
So, I'd like to not use the word transgenderism. It makes it sound like a belief system. And if you are, neutral on the topic, it makes sense as a word that could be used to describe it. But people that are acting in bad faith are reducing, you know, who I am, who trans people are, to a belief system. And my identity is not my belief system. It's who I am, right? You know, a religion or a philosophy is a belief system. There's no transgenderism. There's nothing much in the way that trans people believe. What we do know is supported by science. And so it's not an ism. But apologies for the little diversion there. So drag is gender performance. It's taking the most sort of outlandish version of masculinity or femininity and performing it. And you can have women who do female drag, just as you can have, you know, men who do male drag. It's by taking the behaviors and the mannerisms or whatever of either masculinity or femininity and just hyper exaggerating them, often for comedic effect or occasionally dramatic effect. Cross-dressing is simply wearing clothing of the gender that people wouldn't expect. So if you have facial hair and you're wearing a dress, then that would be considered cross-dressing. But the question of whether or not you're trans is, you know, deep in the center of your brain. Like, anybody can cross-dress, right? Anybody can do drag. But being trans is central to who you are. So that's sort of the distinction I'd like to draw.
Okay. Where are you in the process and how are you emotionally?
So I've been taking estrogen for a little over 4 years. And as I mentioned, the only surgery I had was an orchiectomy. I did this both because of what the, you know, testes do, make testosterone, but also what they represent. Canonical male part, I think, even more so than the genitals, is the balls. And I did not want them. I did not want the testosterone, and I did not want that defining masculine trait as part of my self. And so I would say at this point, 4 years in, I would actually use past tense, transitioned, in that I have changed my name legally. I've changed my gender marker legally. All my IDs are updated, my driver's license, my passport, and everything else. And everybody I know at this point knows all of the details. I put a lot of information about myself out on Facebook so that, you know, people could follow along. I did a lot of writing about my transition, you know, partially to explain it to my friends and family, and partially to make sense of it myself. A lot of trans people are afraid to be themselves. And in my case, I'm pretty sure I knew when I was about 10, but I scared myself into the closet. And it took many, many years, and that's also its own story, to reach the point where I was able to hold the idea in my conscious mind and then make a decision of whether or not I was going to go further. And I say make a decision. I mean, I had to go to a doctor and I had to ask for hormones and so on. But really, in retrospect, it doesn't feel like a decision at all. It was something I couldn't unsee, if that makes sense. And I really felt that I would always wonder if I didn't do it. And it became borderline obsessive of, no, I have to know, is estrogen better for me than testosterone? And my goodness, the changes were amazingly fast. I won't go into all the details unless you want to get specific on something, but I knew within minutes of taking my first estrogen that my brain was much, much better off with that than testosterone. How am I emotionally? I obviously am upset and I'm scared about what's happening and what might happen. It might not be as bad as I'm imagining.
Oh, you're talking.
Go ahead.
You're talking politics.
Yeah, a little bit, since the election was yesterday. How am I emotionally? I am better than I've ever been in most regards. You know, this fear caused by externalities aside, I am so much more capable of expressing the whole range of feelings, particularly around, anger and sadness and loss and joy. Everything is so much more heightened now and nuanced. It's really fascinating. And I can feel multiple things at the same time. I remember a friend of mine unexpectedly had a heart attack and passed, and I was feeling in that moment when I found out both sort of this tremendously painful loss, the sheer magnitude and surprise of the loss was overpowering. And yet, at the same time, I was also able to feel a certain amount of gratitude that my friend must have passed really quickly and almost certainly without pain, but also a certain relief as well, that when I inventoried, how was my relationship with this person? Was there anything unsaid? Did I need to apologize for anything? Did he know how much I cared for him, how much I loved him? And I knew that in that moment that the answer was, no, we were good. I remember very distinctly having all three of those emotions present at the same time and thinking, my God, this is so different from the most crude primary colors or even black and white of my emotions prior to estrogen. So, I'm also incredibly happily partnered and deeply close with my in my second marriage, and I'm closer to my mother than I've ever been. I'm closer to my sister than I've ever been, and I'm closer to many, many of my gal pals than I was prior to changing up my name, my gender, my presentation, and all that. So.
Do you think it's because that lie, and I'm not sure if the word is lie, but that it wasn't there. It wasn't there to walk around or the elephant in the room. It wasn't there to pretend it wasn't there. And you're you now.
Well, I refer jokingly to the person I was before as my predecessor. And oftentimes I will find myself noticing the contrasts between what he would have done and what I do now. And those emotional changes are pretty dramatic. But there are other parts that, he and I share an awful lot in common. I'm the same parent to the same kid, although my relationship with my kid, of course, has changed somewhat, almost entirely for the better. But also, I retain a lot of his playfulness and curiosity and other traits. So it's been a very interesting process of unpacking how much of who I am today was there the whole time. How much of that is the result of consciously deciding who do I want to be? And how much of that is, active shedding of the traits that I didn't want to carry forward, that weren't really me, the things that I was performing in order to satisfy what I perceived to be the requirements of being male, of being tough, of being restrained, of being able to rein in my feelings. A lot of my feelings were held in kind of against my will, even. It was terribly difficult to cry before estrogen, even when I wanted to, even when I knew I had sadness pent up. I would go into my room and put on a sad song and close the door, and I didn't want anybody to know that I was crying because boys aren't supposed to cry. But I cry a lot, and it's glorious. It feels so much more healthy and real and authentic to who I am. And just as an aside, I have nothing against testosterone. My trans mask, brothers out there, if testosterone works for them, that's great. I don't demonize testosterone. I say only that it didn't work for me.
We're talking to Maggie, that's not her real name. She wanted to change her name for safety reasons, about the transitioning and how it's being affected politically. The Human Rights Campaign reports less than 1% of persons, quote, undergoing the transition, regret transitioning. Do you have any regrets?
I do not. I suppose the closest I have to a regret is that it took me as long as it did to put all the pieces together and understand why I always felt different from the other boys. The ideas that I suppressed, like I always wanted to carry a child, but I knew that I could never tell anybody, things like that. And I want to point out that, you know, the tiny fraction of people that do regret it, more often than not, it's because they don't have a supportive environment. They get shamed or, you know, kicked out of the house or financially cut off or whatever. A lot of times people will detransition out of survival more than, you know, they made a mistake. Now, mistakes are made. You know, sometimes, you know, people who are trans or perhaps think they are trans incorrectly, there are other mental conditions at play. And some people, I suppose, could have a desire to escape, you know, their gender because of the things that come with it that are, you know, sometimes hard to swallow. You know, whether that's the tremendous pressure to perform, you know, masculinity or femininity, and maybe they're not trans, maybe they're just, you know, overwhelmed by it. So, but for me, no regrets at all.
Quote, gender reassignment surgery has been performed since 1931. At the time, they called it a sex change. Mm-hmm. Now, here we are in 2024. Seems like there are these archaic notions about what all that means. A person cannot simply walk into a clinic and say, hi, I would like to be the opposite sex. Make an appointment. How's Monday the 18th? Oh, that's great. We have you down. It doesn't work like that at all.
No, it doesn't work like that at all. In fact, I had to be on hormones for a full year before Blue Cross would pay for my Orchi. And that year was one of the longest years of my life. It was extremely frustrating. Now, it's easier than it used to be to get hormones and surgeries. It's much more likely to be covered by insurance, at least for the time being. But the process in most jurisdictions in the United States is what's called informed consent. You could argue that there are not enough controls on that, that you can walk in and, you know, sort of wave your hand at a piece of paper with possible side effects include, you know, and walk out with hormones. You know, we are roughly 0.5% of the population. It's about the same number of people with red hair. So not so uncommon that, you know, you've never met a trans person. You have, everybody has, but not so common that, you know, we make up enough of a demographic to, you know, make any kind of difference in anything other than challenging gender norms in a way that seems to be very upsetting to people with authoritarian tendencies. But also, I'm sympathetic to parents. You know, the kid comes home and says, hey, I'm ditching my name or my pronoun or whatever. And, you know, what a shock that is. You know, you think you've got a son and suddenly you've got a daughter, you know, and then maybe your hopes for grandchildren go out the window. I'm no longer fertile.
We have a previous presidential candidate who was claiming that a little boy can go into school and then return that afternoon as a little girl, all without the parents' permission. And that was probably one that made me the angriest. And, you know, you wait for the craziest thing, and then you say, that is the craziest thing. And then along comes a crazier thing. But there's no way. There's so many things wrong with that sentence, yet people believed it.
I really wonder, with that particular candidate's positions, how much of, you know, what he says people genuinely believe versus it just sort of has a truthiness to it. And obviously nobody's getting surgery at school. It's crazy.
Right. Now, the National Library of Medicine has reported 82% of trans individuals have considered killing themselves, and 40% have attempted suicide. Suicide is highest in this country among transgender youth, 13 to 17-year-olds. We have kids 13 freaking years old that are taking their own lives. That's appalling to me. Now, how is this? We'll go back to this bathroom ordinance. How is this bathroom ordinance going to affect these young kids? It's got to be a part of their loathing themselves and not feeding in. And so now we've got these kids taking their own lives. How is this ordinance is going to affect these kids?
Well, it's just part of the gender policing that parts of our society are very committed to. And, if you are trans feminine and you're wearing makeup or have long hair or a dress or any of that stuff, and you walk into the boys' room because they're making you, that is just prime opportunity for bullying. And it works both ways. If you've got a big, bulky trans man who, big muscular trans man who goes into a women's room, right? And you got a bunch of women start, potentially screaming or at least, expressing alarm. And then, a big burly dude with a beard walks out of the women's room. Some other big burly dude that was born a man will go and beat the shit out of this other man for, violating that taboo. So what it does is it serves to drive trans people out of public life. That's the goal of the people who are, putting these forth. They don't solve any problems. They don't solve, any crimes that are being committed. If somebody wants to go into a bathroom and harm people, there's nothing stopping them. Nothing at all. If there's a man who wants to go in the women's room and, sexually assault a woman, they'll just do it.
Right.
It's not about like, oh, I'm going to put on a dress and then sneak in there and, they'll think that I'm, a sheep when I'm in fact a wolf. But it just doesn't happen. There's no statistics to support that. So it's about control and it's about cruelty, in my opinion. So.
Well, if you're going to, let's put it on the table. The reason that they're using to instill fear in people, and this is just my opinion, is they're making it sound like trans people are preying on your youth,
Yeah. Well, and
and
that's the fear that they're aiming to exploit is that fear of change because the world is changing rapidly. We've had incredible changes in technology and gender roles, and I mean, God, the birth control pill is barely 50 years old, right?
right. I
Like,
think I just
yeah.
think about the kids that are already suicidal. The reason this always sticks in my mind is because I did a lot of volunteer work with homeless kids when I was in Dallas. A percent of them were homeless because they had literally, with the clothes on their back and no food, been kicked out of their homes because they either questioned their gender or they questioned sexuality. But nonetheless, and so I always think about this suicide in these young people. I also have a book about such a case. So, I think, okay, how are these ordinances, these claims by politicians, that has an impact on these 13-year-old boys and girls that are throwing a rope over a pole and hanging themselves or taking an overdose or puts a gun to their.
Yes, absolutely.
So why is it now that we are seeing this influx of laws and anger and such aimed at people who are transitioning? What's your opinion?
Well, I know we're not here to talk about politics exactly, but there's a guy named Frank Wilhoit. And he was a political scientist, and he wrote the following: conservatism consists of exactly one proposition. there must be in-groups whom the law protects but does not bind, alongside out-groups whom the law binds but does not protect. And if you are on the right of the political spectrum in this country, in this place and time, and you have people whose lives feel upended by all the chains, the victory over abortion laws, you know, the repealing of Roe v. Wade, they kind of won on that one, right? Like they're winning that the pro, you know, choice folks are almost in retreat and rout right now, and that's only going to get worse. So that issue is kind of off the table as a us versus them topic. They've also, you know, for the moment, kind of lost on gay marriage, although I think they're going to try to roll that back too, that acceptance of gays and lesbians has skyrocketed with their visibility. They're also much, you know, gays and lesbians are much more frequently found in the population than trans people. Trans people are a very, very convenient minority to demonize because there's so few of us and because many of us are just not visible, right? The idea that a man would give up that privilege to become a woman kind of undercuts that whole proposition in a way that people struggle to understand.
But what I want to go back to here is I was talking about earlier how members of the Odessa, Texas City Council, 522, banned transgender people from using restrooms that didn't match the sex assigned at birth. And a step further with this ordinance that these people are going to be fined up to $500 and legally charged with trespassing.
I believe it's $10,000.
Is it? No, I'm sorry. That's the that's an individual who can press charges on the offender and over $10,000 in damage plus the cost of the lawsuit plus the cost of the attorney fees. So I'm going into in Odessa, you know, to me it almost felt like it was a hunting challenge.
Oh, absolutely. When you place bounties where somebody is not just incentivized by their, you know, sort of law-abiding citizen impulses, but that they have like an actual profit motive in this, you're going to get some ugly false negatives. You're going to have no end of women who don't fit traditional femininity, who are tall. My ex-wife was 6'2" and got misgendered all the time, you know, despite being otherwise very feminine. I mean, just based on the height, the people that it's designed to harm are almost certainly going to dodge the brunt of it just by, you know, being careful or being very stealth to where it's not worth the risk of falsely accusing or whatever. So many other people are going to get caught up in as collateral damage.
Some months ago, I had a friend going through treatment for breast cancer, and as a standing up for her and a symbol, I had my head shaved, and I donated the hair in her name to Locks of Love for children who needed wigs. And so I'm thinking, you know, here I am, I'm schlepping in a no makeup, bald head, jean t-shirt, and I go into the bathroom. I get called a man in the bathroom. Eek! Now I can be fined $500 and trespassing charges. Then the person who's accusing me, they can seek in a court of law $10,000 in damages plus the law plus their attorney fees. And that's not cheap. And I'm thinking, okay, how are they going to make this pass? Are they going to search me? Are the cops going to show up and say, all right, lift your shirt. Let's make sure, you know, I mean, how is that even going to be workable?
I mean, it's absolutely perverse. And that's where the, you know, trans kids playing sports is also just fraught with peril. How are you going to decide? Are you going to ask girls to pull down their pants to see what's in there? Are you going to administer a DNA test? I can think of very little that's more sort of personally invasive than a DNA test. And on top of this, right, a substantial fraction of the population is intersex. There are plenty of people who have various chromosomal conditions or hormonal intolerances or what have you. In some cases, you even have chimera, where you have folks who, started out as two fetuses in the womb and merged to where you've got two distinct sets of DNA, potentially one masculine and one feminine. There's so many people that don't fit into, XXYY.
And also thinking as former law enforcement, okay, I get a call, rapes, robberies, murders, break-ins going on, but I get a call that a man, quote unquote, dressed as a woman, just came into the women's restroom. Eek, you need to check that out. Okay, what am I checking out? And it's, I'll spend several hours on that call while a domestic violence call. I don't quite understand how they're going to enforce it. I don't understand. Now, I understand why they passed it. Have they affected you at all, this ordinance? And they're talking about making it all over Texas, making it legal all over Texas, which is, Texas is breaking my heart. Has that affected your fear of going into the restroom? Maybe even if it's just to look in the mirror or straighten out, a piece of clothes. Has that affected your thoughts? Does that creep into your mind? As far as being attacked or charged or what have you?
Well, I mean, certainly I would be very careful if I were in Odessa, and it would hurt me emotionally to think that people made this choice to try to drive me from public life because of what I represent. And, there's no trans agenda other than, leave me alone. Like, let me live my life, allow me my bodily autonomy. Again, they're trying to solve, what they're purporting to solve is not a problem. What they're really solving is their own, addressing their own fears. But I don't live near Odessa, so it doesn't at the moment affect me. However, Florida had such a ban. Now, it's only in state-owned spaces, so it doesn't apply to private property. It doesn't apply to federal property, such as airports. But I will not go to Florida so long as these anti-trans measures are in place. I'm not going to go to a place where I have to wear, astronaut diapers to be able to go out in public. But that's the idea, is to drive trans people out of the state. They're trying to create a Republican-dominated legislature, government, and all that. And, between the scapegoating and the driving people who are more inclined to vote on the left, to driving them out of the state and driving the gays out of the state, and all of these are designed to consolidate power and authority, legal power, social power. So if they pass that bill in Texas, I will leave. I'm not going to put up with it.
So you'll go to those measures where you literally pull up stakes and your family moves out of the state?
Yep.
I love the fact that you will share your story with us and your thoughts and ideations on what's going on. It saddens me that you feel the fear of covering up your true name in public on this show.
Yeah, me too.
What do you hope to see in the next few years regarding this community?
I've had these arguments with people that I know, well, we got through the first, Trump administration, we'll get through another one. When I hear that from, straight white guys, I'm like, yeah, you'll be fine. It's not clear that I will be. It's not clear that people like me will be. It's not clear that we will continue to be able to get healthcare. It's not clear that insurance will continue to cover surgical procedures that, allow us to bring our bodies into congruence with what we expect to have. So ultimately what I want is just acceptance, live and let live, allow my bodily autonomy. It doesn't affect you. We're just people trying to live our lives. We're not a trend. We're not a fetish. We're not an ideology. We're people who are are different. You know, just like gay people are different, just like autistic people are different, just like, you know, redheads are different. But we're still people. And that's seems to be lost somewhere along the way, that the differences that we exhibit somehow make us less than human, and that's how we're being treated. And I don't understand it.
Maggie, thank you so much for talking to me tonight. And I am obviously just wishing you the best of life and health and care for your family and such. And hopefully this administration is not going to muck everything up for the minorities, women, people of color, people who don't have the right body that you think they should have and all that bullshit. But thank you so much for sharing with me. Hopefully we'll get some education out there and people can just see what these ordinances and laws do to people. You know, if we can change a mind, if we can help somebody understand, we've done our job and we can go get a drink somewhere. I'm Judith Yates. This is Best True Crime. Thank you for listening. Please subscribe and have a good night.
Hey, listeners, my name is Judith A. Yates. Like so many of you out there, I have suffered from depression and I have been suicidal. I've also been the victim of discrimination, but there is help out there. You can text HOME, H-O-M-E, to 741-741. That is the crisis text line. You can connect with a crisis counselor and it's free 24/7 support right there at your fingertips. Here's how it works. You text HOME, H-O-M-E, to 741-741 from anywhere in the United States, anytime, and a live trained crisis counselor receives the text and will respond. It's a secure online platform. Crisis counselor can help you with gun violence, coronavirus, anxiety, eating disorder, depression, suicide. Give them a text at 741-741. They also se habla español and they are GLBT friendly. So don't sit alone and don't do anything dangerous to yourself or others. Please, there is hope out there and there is help. Be safe out there. Thank you for joining me on this investigation, exploring true crime, forensics, historic cases, dark history, and criminal theory. This is Best True Crime Podcast. No chatter, no commercials, no off topic. I do hope you will subscribe. This podcast runs off donations only. You can drop us a donation, $35 or more, and I'll send you a signed book. Just go to www.besttruecrime.com. My name is Judith A. Yates, award-winning true crime author, a criminologist, and a paranormal explorer. Thank you for joining me on Best True Crime Podcast, a division of Best True Crime Books, Games, and Video, LLC. Be safe out there.